Hi, welcome to the Career Refresh Podcast. I'm your host, Jill Griffin. I'm a former media and marketing executive turned career strategist and executive coach. I spent my career working my way up and through the ranks of global organizations and startups, and today I show others how to do the same. Join me each week as we discuss the strategies and actionable steps to leverage your strengths, increase your confidence, and develop your career well-being. Ready? Let's do it. Hey folks, welcome back. This is the Career Refresh, and I am your host, Jill Griffin. Today, I am talking to Christian Stein. Christian Stein is a brand and strategic consultant, and about a year ago, he wrote a post on LinkedIn, which talked very openly and honestly and quite vulnerably about being fired from a high-profile job, what he learned, and how he bounced back. We were introduced by mutual friends, and this is an episode that you really want to listen to because we're taking away the stigma and the thoughts that we have around being fired, right? Christian has over 25 years of international marketing experience in, you know, North America, Europe, partnering with diverse brands and agencies who have reach that spans the globe throughout EMEA, Western Europe, Russia, North America, China, Australia, South Africa, just to name a few highlights and a few markets. Again, tremendous experience here. He's worked at Ogilvy, 180 Amsterdam, TBWA, Chiat Day. And early on in his career, when he found himself unemployed, it was a little bit different for him, right? He ended up going to Europe and playing semi-pro ice hockey, as he joked and said, every Canadian young man's dream. He eventually then came back stateside and coached professional hockey in a league in the States. He made his way back to agency eventually and then continued to grow his career trajectory, then working in Amsterdam, Paris, LA, New York. He has this really incredible superpower where he's able to look at where a brand is, see what its future could be, and then help define their strategic game plan. And then, of course, the roadmap on how to get there. But in this episode, we also talk about as he was acquiring all of this expertise and knowledge, he was unfired from a really high profile agency job and how his personal story, how he rebranded his career, how he really rethought the whole situation. There's a question that he continues to ask himself throughout this, which helped sort of act as an internal navigation. And then we also talk about the strategies and the key learnings that he believes will help others. And frankly, I do too, who may be in the same situation in a challenging moment in their career and life, and how to find ways to not gaslight yourself, but little by little, find the pause, find the way to turn this situation that you're in into a moment of having a growth mindset and looking at bigger picture and not the immediate now. He also talks about the importance of community from his wife, his family, his friends. He did hire a coach, former colleagues, and how we need to be relying on each other, building community and going back into networking. So much of what's happened over the last few years as a result of COVID is I feel some of the ties of community have really weakened. And Christian is testament towards when you having a strong community and you spend effort in building that, how you can bounce back from really tough situations. So I love that he is sharing his personal story. As I've said on this podcast many a times, my life was a signing bonus and a severance package. And the first time that I was let go, it was the worst thing ever. And subsequent times, I'm not saying it was my favorite thing, but subsequent times it was like, yeah, okay, I know how to get through this. I have learned how to get through this. And that's what Christian is sharing his story today. This is how he learned how to get through it. Listen in, definitely grab pen and paper because he starts taking you through the steps. You definitely want to write those down. And I want to hear from you. So if you have questions, email me at hello@jillgriffincoaching.com. And we can also bring Christian back to answer those questions and dig more into his story. He has gone on to be the owner and founder of Stone Aloe Consulting, and he helps brands navigate the world that we're in today. He helps people shape their personal brands, and all around, definitely check him out and follow him. All right, friends, dig in. I know you're going to enjoy this episode, and I'll see you on the other side. Hi, Christian. I'm glad that you're here with me today.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Good. So let's get into it. As you know, I ask everyone, my first question is usually like, take us back and tell us what you wanted to be when you grew up.
Well, I think growing up as a young boy in Canada, every boy's dream was to be a professional hockey player in the NHL. That was absolutely, you know, what I wanted to do. Didn't achieve it. I did actually, though, take time out of my career to pursue that dream further when I was 27 years old. I'd lost my job because it was a recession and struggled to find a new one, which is kind of how it goes in recessions. And my brother, you know, who was coaching professional hockey in Europe at the time and still does, he said, like, look, you were really good. Like, have you ever thought of like giving it another shot? And I was like, dude, I'm 27 years old. Like, I've been playing beer league hockey for the last few years. He's like, get in shape and start making some phone calls. And so I made some phone calls. I ended up, there was a team in the northern town called Groningen, is how you pronounce it, Groningen in the Netherlands, that their goalie had just left. And they were like, yeah, come on over. So I got on a plane and got to Groningen and played a season of average, you know, semi-pro, if you will, kind of hockey, which then led me to a team in the Southern Professional Hockey League, where I was the assistant coach and assistant general manager for the Asheville Aces for one season. Team went bankrupt. But it's interesting. I learned more about business in that one year of trying to like deal with, you know, players and an organization and, you know, politicians and leases and, you know, selling jerseys so we could pay for the bus for the last game of the season, than I ever learned in my life. It was an incredible experience. And then that kind of all ended. And then I went and kind of got back into my advertising career path, in Amsterdam, which was, you know, where everything kind of went from there. But, so I wanted to be a professional hockey player. I kind of sort of maybe somewhat achieved it. But when I knew it wasn't going to make it to the NHL when I was younger, and went to college, my dad was a dentist. And like so many of us, we're like, I'm just going to do what my dad did. You know, I'm going to become a dentist. And, so I went to college and started in pre-med, pre-dental, and I ran into a wall.
Mm.
And that wall was organic chemistry. And so all of this, like, I was like, Dad, I'm going to take over your practice. You're going to be able to retire. It's like, everything was like amazing. And then I ran into the wall called organic chemistry. I just didn't get it. Like, it was just so over my head conceptually. And I think more importantly, my heart wasn't in it. I think I was doing it to please them and him. And I remember calling him. And it was fascinating because I, at the same time, one of my electives was this African literature class, and I loved it. And I was crushing it, like A's and writing essays and being creative and you know, like analytical and expressing my point of view on things. And I remember calling my dad probably after the organic chemistry professor called him and said, like, I think you got to talk to your son. And I said, Dad, I can't do it. I want to change my major. And this is my sophomore year. And I was like, I want to change my major. He's like, to what? I said, English literature and journalism. He's like, thank God.
Oh, all right. We love a supportive parent. That's awesome.
Because for him, it meant that he didn't have to hang on to something in hopes that I was going to take it from him. And it freed him up to do. But he also, you know, knowingly said, great, pursue what you're passionate about. Like, if you're going to do well in that and it's going to make you happy, then go for it. You'll figure it out. So
That's incredible.
It's pretty crazy, but yeah.
Hats off to your dad. That's an incredible response. Yeah, I ran into some challenges with organic chemistry, although oddly enough, it was when I was still working in agency land, I was really into formulating my own products, like beauty product, makeup, everything, hair. And I did a lot of botanical chemistry, because it's all math and formulation. And I eventually went on to teach botanical chemistry at the school, which if you had told me, I never would have. But I think it really came down to Dr. Timothy Hill, who was my teacher of organic chemistry and botanical chemistry, and like just broke it down in such a way that I guess I didn't hear all the other years that it made it easier, much easier and kind of fun.
I wish I had him. Maybe I'd be a dentist right now if I'd had your professor.
Right,
I don't know.
If you had Dr. Timothy Hill.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe I'd be drilling teeth right now. I don't know.
So you went back then into advertising. And take us through the high level, sort of what those next couple of years were like for you.
Yeah, I was super fortunate that I got hired in Amsterdam at 180 Amsterdam, which at that point in time was like the place to work. It was just incredible. Like, you know, I think I was employee number 85 or something like that. And it was really interesting, the hiring process. And I think the reason that that place was so awesome at that point in time was because they really, really cared about who they hired. I had 13 interviews before they made me an offer. 3 days in a row, I had to keep coming back and coming back. And finally, the last day, they brought the contract in and I signed it on the spot. But it was like just being able to meet so many amazing people. And they had this ability at that time to just pull the best talent from all over the world into this one little, you know, canal house in Amsterdam and make creative magic, you know. And
what do you think it was about their culture that they were able to pull in? I mean, not only were they a hot shot, but they pulled in some pretty stellar talent too.
This is a really great question. I was actually talking with an old colleague of mine from there literally 2 weeks ago about this. And I said, you know, what's really interesting is right now in companies, what I'm hearing a lot of, and having just, you know, been in big companies, you hear a lot of, there's a lot of meetings about culture. We've got to create the culture. We got to figure out the culture, right? When in fact, we said, actually, the thing that made the culture at 180 so amazing was the people. Like, the company didn't create the culture. The people they brought in created the culture. And that was a really interesting sort of aha moment for me and him. We were like, yeah, like, it's incredible how much energy is spent in meetings of like, okay, like culture. Okay, does that mean like we got to provide snacks? Does that mean we got to like let people be flexible, you know, have a cool barista, like, or, you know, whatever? Or is that like just hiring the most amazingly talented individuals and bringing them into one place and let them just kind of like let the inmates run the asylum in a way?
Do you think there is any common thread though in it must have been a shared value or some common threads, because you could bring in talented people and have them not get along.
I'll tell you what the big cultural thing there was. And there was actually a thing on LinkedIn that kind of blew up a year or so ago. They had this little sign over that. So you went in the front doors and there was reception. And then you walked through another set of doors when you got into the office space. And there was a little piece of wood over the door hanging. And it just said, be nice or leave. And that to me, everyone who's worked there, and that went missing. Someone stole that. And it went like all over.
Believe.
Exactly. But it was this little piece of wood hanging over the door. And every time you walk through that door, you just kind of like this subtle reminder, be nice or leave. And that was the one thing that everyone there saw that and kind of like bought into it.
Yeah.
And it's so that to me was like the thing. I think the founders obviously played a massive role because they were just like, they're incredible people, incredibly talented people. Alex Melvin, who unfortunately passed away many years ago, was like the smartest man I've ever worked with in my life and the most fun guy as well. And, you know, and Chris and Guy, like all these people who created this amazing agency. I think they just attracted, you know, good begets good, right? Like you bring good people, more good people come because they bring their people that they think are great people. And all of a sudden there was, and I think the other thing about it was 90% of that agency was expats. And we were all like these expats living in this cool city, and going to work for us was literally like just going to hang out with our friends.
Yeah. What an amazing experience to have that. So then from there, did you go back to Canada or did you come back stateside?
I went to Paris from there.
Paris. Okay.
Yes. So I spent six years in Paris. First two and a half years working at TBWA in Paris. And then some client changes happened. And so I left TBWA Paris and started a small creative consulting company with the creative partner that I'd been working with. You know, we had some small projects, worked with some interesting brands. And then life kind of happened where his partner had a baby and then my wife had a baby and like our son. And so it was like, we didn't quite have the new business pipeline going that we wanted. And so interestingly, we both ended up freelancing back at TBWA Paris for like a year. And the last, I was on a contract that expired December 12th of 2014. And that, interestingly enough, was the day my son was born. Aww. And so I didn't go for my last day of that contract. And I took that next year off completely. Wow. I was a full-time dad. And fortunately, my wife was also she worked more project type things. So she had two kind of big moments, the French Open and then the Bercy tournament. So because she worked with the French Tennis Federation. And so we were just like these two, parents just hanging out in Paris with our newborn child and walking around the city. We had our different loops, like there's the Louvre loop and the Place des Vosges loop. And it was amazing. And then from there, I went to LA. I got an opportunity with TBWA to go to Chiat Day Los Angeles, which was amazing.
Was there a big culture switch then? I mean, same agency, but different offices between Paris and LA.
Yeah, Paris was interesting because I was working within a group in the Paris office that was the international group in a way. And we were basically, there was a lot of French, but it was all done in English. A bit more of an Anglo-Saxon mindset than kind of traditional French mindset in terms of how you approach problem solving and things like that. So there was definitely a difference between Amsterdam for sure. But then going to the US, especially the West Coast, it's hard to complain when you move from, well, Paris is pretty amazing, but you move to, Southern California and get to work in like one of the most iconic ad agencies in the world. So culturally, from a lifestyle standpoint, it was a big change for us, which was embraced and loved. And from an agency culture, there was the through line of disruption, which is just TBWA's thing, of course. But I think the vibe in LA was definitely different. It's just a vibe out there. Like that office it's pretty amazing, a pretty special place. Yeah.
So you and I have discussed this before, and you also had a post that you put on LinkedIn a while back that went viral. And I would love for you to take our listeners through, your professional story and your career rebranding and being fired from a very high profile job.
Yeah. So after LA, when COVID happened, I had to kind of make a decision if I wanted to leave TBWA and try to find something, in March 2020, which was not a good time to be looking for jobs, or potentially, there was an opportunity in the New York office, but it was a different role than I'd done. But I was like, all right, let's give it a shot. And I think what I think we went into it with ambition and positive energy. And then after about a year of that, we had moved east at that point. So that was also a big change for us. So there was a huge personal adjustment for myself, my wife, and our son, as much as there was, professional adjustment that I was going through of a different type of role and a different kind of pressure. In a different office with people that I didn't know. And, it's also hard in that moment when you come into a new office and it's all virtual because you don't actually get to hang out with people on a couch and get to know them and be yourself. It was very it was difficult for me. I ended up being a square peg in a round hole for that role. And ultimately they had to fire me. And of course, it's a horrible experience for anyone to be fired. And so, with the shock, the shame, that I felt, that I think so many of us feel when that happens to us, you're kind of left reeling. But fortunately for me, I was able to get advice from a very dear friend of ours who had been working with a coach, and she said, you got to reach out to this person. And so I did, and we started to work together, and she really helped me first and foremost, get healthy physically and then mentally, and then focus on, what's next. And I've had some, it's been a year and a bit, a year and a half since that happened. And I decided that I wanted to launch my own consulting business coming out of that. I had this profound realization when I was working with her that I wrote down in my notebook, I don't want to be an ad guy anymore, which was kind of shocking in a way, because that's what I'd been doing my whole life, pretty much, except for the hockey bit. But I realized what I loved doing, which was transforming brands and figuring out, you know, brand transformational strategy. And so I'm like, and I wanted independence, you know, I just wanted to be my own boss again and spend time with my son and my wife and be a little bit more in control of my life. And, so I started my own consultancy and, you know, it's been a year going and, you know, through that year and a bit, I've learned a lot of things.
I was going to ask you, take us through some of the, like, we don't need to hear the blood and gore part of things, but just take us through like, okay, so it's the next day. How did you, I mean, you mentioned working with a coach. So shout out to the executive coaches of the world that yes. help us do these things. What were some of the things that you did? I mean, you and I have joked. I mean, my life was a signing bonus and a severance package. So like getting laid off or fired, it's like, it is part of work and people don't talk about it. And it happens more than you realize. And I don't mean that as a scare tactic. I'm just saying it as a way to like normalize it. Sometimes things are square pegs and round holes and they don't, it's not a good fit. So what'd you do the next couple of days or next couple of weeks?
Well, it was horrible because we actually had our former next door neighbors from LA literally staying with us in our house the day it happened and having to kind of not just, you know, work up the courage to tell my wife what happened, but also then come home on the train and like walk into a house of people who clearly were made aware of the situation, but they were amazing and so supportive. And I think that was like kind of a boost that I needed to be like, okay, like, you know, it's not the end of the world. We'll figure this out.
Supportive community is the first thing he's saying, folks. So get that down. Supportive community.
Yeah. I'm not a loser. You know, I'm not a failure. This is okay. And then I think the one thing that I did is I actually, you know, you talked about severance and severance is great, but it is finite and it's terrifying as you start to see those days, you know, scrape by and you're like, okay, like this is going to end soon. I got to figure this out. But the one thing I did is I actually invested in me and at a time when, you know, money is the one thing you are holding on to, like nothing else you've ever held on to in your life. Working with my coach, you know, she taught me that, you know, money is energy. It goes out and it comes in and you have to learn to let it go because it will come back to you tenfold or fivefold or whatever. And part of that was me investing in her, like spending money on a coach. And through that process, like if I hadn't done that, I can't even imagine like where I'd be right now. But that thought of like, well, I've got to spend this much money on someone who's going to help me through this. But what if, you know, that's money and I need money. Like, right. I need every penny I've got.
And I always say the same thing. I love that you said for her take is money is energy. I look at money as high tide and low tide. Money comes in, money goes out. Meaning if it's gone in, it's going to come out. It's going to go back and forth. And being in that space of whether you are an employee or whether you are a consultant or a freelancer, being in the space of knowing that there is those ebbs and flows and you have to learn how to manage your mind. And whether you get a coach or a therapist or a mentor, or you have someone in your life who can be unbiased and give you that support, that's really where you're able to learn how to manage your mind, especially around money. So I love, love, love that you said that.
Yeah. The other thing that I started to really work on was, you know, like I talked about, you're sort of so focused on tomorrow and that short-term security that you have because it's there and you know that severance payment's going to hit your bank account and you're like, okay, I'm just going to focus all my energy on this thing that's right in front of me versus looking down the road and what's the long-term growth opportunity, right? What's the long-term growth growth mindset? So I've worked very hard at getting my brain to realize like, stop worrying about like this right in the moment and start thinking about, you know, what could be down the road and what the possibilities are. And that was the big thing of like, you know, I think we talked about this when we talked last time about that open to work you know, badge on LinkedIn, which is just to me is like screaming, like, I'm screwed, please help me. You know, I need a job. Versus if it said like ready to tackle new challenges or, you
what
know,
it's an energy shift.
Hashtag bring I'm it ready. On or, you know, like I'm here to kick ass or whatever it is like, and just kind of the stigma that goes with getting fired. And then it's just like, that's just reinforcing it. It's like, you're open to anything, open to, you know?
Right.
And so that sort of, that plays into that short-term, long-term thing. And I had to kind of flip my brain to go, okay, like, where do I want to go? And one of the things that I ask my clients this question for their brands, but I also asked myself this question is, what's my win? You know, in down the road, what if I look back, I'm like, okay, I did it. I won, you know? And that was, my win was to be stress-free. And it's not a tangible, it's not a quantifiable thing, right? And I'll never be stress-free. Of course, we're always going to have stresses, but it was like, I can see a path to getting towards that. And if I can take small intentional steps towards that goal, the chances of me getting there are really, really high. But to do that, I've got to let go of what's like this short-term security thing and start, you know, putting myself out there a little bit, you know, crack that door open a little bit, you know,
right,
my head through and then keep going and keep going. And I've been talking to so many people about this lately who are in the similar situation. And they're like, yeah, I lost my job or I think I'm going to lose my job. It's like, okay, like what's a small thing you can do today that's going to signal to you and everything around you and everyone around you that you're going to go that way? It might not be the only way you go, but it's a small step in that direction. And then, you know what, tomorrow,
tangible. Tell us what that might mean for you or in a hypothetical, if you're saying what's the small thing you can do.
You know, for me, it was, well, one small step was hiring a coach, right? I mean, it was an investment, but it was a small step, right? And you know, I'll use this example. This is great because she bugged me for 4 months to join a gym. She's like, Christian, did you go check it out? No. Christian, did you go check it out? No. Why aren't you going? I don't, it's like, I got to get in my car. I got to drive 10 minutes. Then I got to like change. And then I'm going to be sweaty with all these other people. And I don't want, 4 months, she hounded me about joining a gym. Finally, one day she's like, okay, this ain't happening, is it? I'm like, no. But I have a spin bike and the Peloton app. She's like, great. I'm going to send you a link to these adjustable dumbbells that you can order on Amazon for $40. And I'm going to send you a link to a bunch of strength exercises on Peloton. I just want you to start, you know, next week. Do you think you can do like 30 minutes of spinning and 15 minutes of weights twice a week to start with? I was like, yeah, I can give it a shot.
Yeah.
So I ordered the dumbbells, they arrived, and sure enough, now 4 days a week for an hour every morning, I'm like on the spin bike doing my weights. But but it was a $40 thing versus a annual gym membership that I'd have to drive in my car to do, you know. So I think that to me is a good example.
It's like removing the barrier. What's the smallest way you can do it? And for you, that was it. It's a great example.
Yeah. And I think in business, it's the same. Like, you know, if you have an idea for something and you're sort of in that fear moment, spin cycle of fear, as I call it, where, you know, indecision is actually a decision you're making. And you just like, I don't know, buy the URL for the company you want to have. $10 on GoDaddy, but buy it. Because you know what you've just done there is you've actually said to yourself, I'm going to go that way. I'm going to try it. Versus just sitting and thinking about it, which is.
You aligned your aspirations and actions. Yeah. You're like, okay, I want that. Let me go take it. Okay.
Yeah.
So I love that. So I hear that we have so far, it's finding the supportive community. So in your case, you walked into it because it was in your house that day, but in general, finding that. Next, it was you invested in yourself. The third thing you did was, what's the one small thing you can do? Mm-hmm. So three steps. Are there any other things that you...
Oh, I got a whole list.
I love it. Keep coming.
You know, I think the mindset of progress over perfection always, you know, we are never going to get it absolutely right. Personally, professionally, you know, whether you're working for a company, whether you're managing a brand, whether you're a teacher, you're never going to get it perfect. So just keep moving forward. Like, try stuff. If it doesn't work, who cares? Try something else. That might work. Okay, go that way and then try something else. Like, just keep moving forward and you'll get where you want to go, versus, again, sort of sitting in that, I'm just waiting for everything to be in a nice little box with a bow on it before I do anything. It'll never happen. It will never happen.
Never going to be. One of my mentors always said that like, failure is just one less way it's going to work. And that was a way of sort of like chunking it down really simply. Like, okay, so it didn't work that way. Is there another way it can work?
I got another one. You want another one?
But yeah, bring it.
Keep going. Ask for help as often as you need it. Mm. I think we are oftentimes afraid to ask for help because we feel it's a sign of weakness.
Yeah, vulnerability.
Most of us are perfectionists, right? And so asking for help, whether that's asking, you know, a friend to, like, you know, refer you to someone who is, or whatever, or if it's asking a, you know, an old colleague if they want to hire you or whatever it is, like, ask for help. There's no shame in it. Everyone wants to help everyone. It's human nature. I think we're just afraid to, like, be vulnerable and do that. And so that was a big one for me. You know, it was just talking to a lot of my closest friends. You know, obviously my wife was a huge pillar in all of this. You know, without her, it would have been a disaster. Which is the last, one of the bigger points is just be there for your loved ones, because what goes around comes around, and trust me, you will need them a lot.
Yep.
Like that I can't even, you know, I don't have to say anything more about that, because it's just true. They're there for you.
That's some really, like, just simple ways of breaking it down. I think when we're in something, which I'll label as fear and uncertainty, right? It doesn't matter what the situation is. It's labeled as fear and uncertainty. How it shows up in your body and your mind is your own way that it's going to manifest, right? But when we're in that and being able to take that next small step, the next action, the, like, that one thing that you can do. And what I love also is that when we're not motivated to take an action, or we feel frozen or paralyzed, it's often because the place we're sitting in, even if we hate it, feels more comfortable to the unknown, or what is uncertain and what's next. And if you're thinking that or feeling that, you're totally normal. You're like all of us. We all have that. But spending some time, as you said, like putting that, the idea of the actions, taking that small step, what is the aspiration of what you want, putting your actions against that. And what you're really doing is envisioning a future, whether it's 2 minutes from now, 2 days from now, or 2 years from now, you're envisioning a future that is better than where you're sitting now. And it might be your dirty diaper, but like where you're sitting now. And it's hard. And I know that we've heard a lot of people recently, especially in the tech and advertising and marketing umbrella, that have been layoffs, but it doesn't mean that it's everywhere, right? Numbers, unemployment numbers are still good. Wages are still high, but, you know, it is a reality of what happens in the marketplace. And many of us have seen this happen more than one cycle. It's people who haven't seen it, or who are newer on the job market, that are feeling like, wait, what is happening? And it's like, no, it kind of happens. I mean, every couple of years we go through something like this. We just had a nice run.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, and I think what's interesting is we're in a moment in time where it's different than even like a year ago from technology and opportunity. Like, I feel like anyone who has an idea can turn that into something right now. Like, you have the tools available to you that are not cost prohibitive to just trying something. Like, it's really easy to spin up a website on Squarespace and it costs you like $6.99 a month. Like, it's super simple, you know? It's really easy to use ChatGPT to help you formulate some ideas or package things up or, you know, supplement things that you don't have the skill set for. There's platforms like Fiverr and Upwork, and like there's just a treasure trove of talent out in the world at your fingertips. And so I think the point of me saying that is, like, if you're in a situation where you do lose your job, and if you're a young person who's just sort of starting your career and you've lost your job because of a, you know, tech layoffs or whatever, like, open the aperture a little bit and think about all the things that you could be doing that you'd be happy doing, and pursue all of them, because you have the tool set at your fingertips to do it. You know, 20 years ago, you didn't. You were like, you got a job, you got fired, then you had to find literally the same job somewhere else. And then you just kind of kept going up. But now it's like, you know, I was talking with this one woman and she was amazing, and she lost her job a bunch of times. And she's like, oh yeah, and I also write children's novels. I'm like, oh my God, what are you doing with that? She's like, nothing. I'm like, okay, here, you got to do something with that. And you can, like, there's no cost of entry to doing that. You can self-publish. You can, you know, hire an illustrator for $200 to do some beautiful things. Like, so it's just another example of, like, yes, you can keep pursuing that job and that career, which is a good thing, but don't be afraid to, like, play in other sandboxes at the same time, because ultimately at some point, they're either going to converge or you're going to diverge into one of those other paths. And better to be, like, in a position of power in that situation than being on the back foot and kind of being like, I don't know what to do.
How has this experience made you better as a business owner? Meaning going from employee to now starting your own thing. How has that experience made you better at running your own thing?
It's been challenging. But I think it's just because the world is challenging right now. The business world is challenging. But I think I learned a lot. You know, obviously working in big companies, you learn a lot of the things that maybe you don't want your company to have, which is like overheads and headcount and, you know, all that stuff that goes with that. So for me, it was, this experience has helped me understand, you know, what I really want my company to be, versus trying to aspire to be something that maybe I thought the market might want.
Right.
The other thing I'll say is, like, the first year and a bit of my business, you know, I very much embraced that progress, not perfection mindset. I was trying all sorts of different things, like products, and, you know, I offer this and this laundry list of other things, and I'm a collective, and I'm a this, and I'm, you know, I can do that. And this product goes before this product. In fact, like, I spent a year basically calibrating, right. Yeah, my business. Yeah. and also, like, crafting my elevator pitch and really getting to the heart of, like, well, what is my business? And if I had to tell someone in, you know, in 30 seconds, what would it be? But it's not like I woke up on whatever it was, September, whatever of last year, and we're like, here it is. It's perfect.
Right.
Like, I'm just throwing stuff at the wall and hoping something sticks. Yeah.
It's organic and it's growing. And as you're navigating your own consultancy and hearing from clients and hearing what the market needs, you're also, you know, pivoting and productizing and offering different services to your clients.
And we'll continue to do so till the very end, because the world changes around you and everything. You have to be fluid and reinventing. And that's what makes it exciting for me, is just kind of like being like, all right, well, I tried that, didn't work so well, but what if I try this? Actually, no, that they received that really well, and that made sense for them. Okay, I'm gonna, you know, double down on that now, which makes it fun.
Yeah, no, it definitely does. It definitely does. Christian, this was really, really helpful. I think just shining a light on, you know, things happen, we lose jobs, and that there is a way of managing your time and your mind after it, and then showing everybody that with Stone Owl Consultancy, you are back in it and you're able to deliver for clients and use all these experiences for the greater good of all. I love that. I will put all of your information in the show notes so people know where to find you. Thank you so much for sharing so openly. I think it's really, really helpful, and I appreciate you.
Thank you so much, Jill. It's been amazing.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Career Refresh Podcast. If you're enjoying this and you want more information, go to my website, jillgriffincoaching.com. There you can find information on how to work with me one-on-one or my group programs, or even bring me into your workplace. I'll put the link to my website in the show notes. But hey, listen, before you go, do me a favor. Rate and review this podcast because it definitely helps me get the word out to people everywhere so that they can also thrive in the workplace. All right, friends, I appreciate you. I'll see you soon.